Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Y'all gonna mess me up. What in the world?
How are we doing tonight? Pastor Allen did tell me y'all are the rowdy crowd. I like this. Normally I'm the one bringing the energy. Y'all got more energy than I do tonight. That's a good thing. Well, as always, it's an honor and privilege to have an opportunity to speak to our family. I consider you family. And so before we get started, let's look at our giving scripture for tonight. It's found in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. It says, "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name, and do not forget to do good, to share with those in need. These are sacrifices that please the Lord." I love this scripture because it shows us that we can worship the Lord in multiple ways. You know, we are privileged to have an opportunity to come together and to celebrate God in a service like this, like we just did. But did you know that when we give into the kingdom of God, when we give into his work, it's also a way that we worship the Lord? How many of you know that you can't outgive God? How many of you know that everything that you and I have belongs to him? And that if we will do what the Word of God says and give the tenth, the tithe, and give offerings over and above, God will blow your mind with what he will do with the 90% left. I am a living testament of that. I've seen it happen time and time again. And one of the things I've found, guys, is it's not good enough for me to hear a speaker like Pastor Allen or Michael or Billy Hunt or someone to stand up here and talk about these things and say, amen, and that's good. It's a better thing when you step out in faith and you do what the Word of God says and you see the God who provides for yourself. You see the God who gives over and above for yourself. So tonight, I want to encourage you, no matter where you're at financially, no matter where you're at emotionally, no matter where you're at in your life, step out in faith. Make a decision that, God, you know what? I'm going to worship you with my finances, and I'm going to give into your work. And Lord, I know that you're good. I know that you're faithful, and that you're going to bless me over and above because you're a good God. Amen? Amen. So as we don't pass buckets or do anything like that on Wednesday nights, but I just want to encourage you to give, because giving is a way that we can worship the Lord as well. Amen? Amen. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? All right, so this section's glad. Y'all, somebody drug y'all in. How many of y'all are glad to be here tonight, guys? We can be anywhere else, but we have the opportunity and privilege to be in the house of the Lord, hearing his word. And the Bible says that where the word of God is, the presence of God is there as well. The presence to heal, the presence to set free, the presence to give us the answers that we need for life. And so anytime you come into the church building, I want to encourage you to have an expectation. What? Not of a performance, but knowing that the God who provides, heals, sets free, and delivers is going to meet you right where you are tonight. Amen? Amen. God has something for all of us tonight. Well, I was reading, I was on vacation last week, running around with Mickey Mouse. But I'm back to civilization. And in my quiet time, I was reading in Genesis chapter 1. And it's interesting that in Genesis chapter 1, we see where God creates the light and he says, it is good. He creates the earth and he says, it is good. He creates the stars, the moon, the sun, and the animals, and he says, it is good. But then something interesting I noticed. For the first time in the Bible, God looks at something and he says, this is not good. Let's look at Genesis 2:18, because I know some of y'all don't believe me. It says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone." It is not good for man to be alone. You see, God, before he needed ministry, man, before man needed a job, he said man needed community. Man needed companionship. Man needed other people. God didn't design us to do life alone. You know, I read an article last week, and it says that 31% of Americans are struggling with loneliness and isolation. Going a bit further, it says 1 in 5 Christians are struggling with loneliness and isolation. And then it said the younger generation, Generation Z and Generation Alpha, 28 to 29% of them at that age are struggling with loneliness and isolation. That ought not be. It listed the top issues as this. It says the pressure to appear spiritually perfect, happy, and put together. It says people trying to protect their privacy, so they isolate themselves because they don't want people knowing their business. Church friendships sometimes seem transactional, surfacey, fake. It's that churches are full of cliques, making too hard to break in. And this is my favorite. Past hurt, trauma, church hurt. You know, I've been there. You know, I didn't know there was a term, but I understand church hurt. When I first came to the Ark many years ago, I was church hurt. But one of the things I realized is this. If we go to a bad restaurant and it's bad, and we get hurt maybe from a manager or from a server, do we stop going to restaurants in general? Or maybe you go to a doctor and you have a bad experience with a doctor. Do you stop going to doctors, period? No. Or here's a better one. Maybe you've had a bad experience on a job and you leave that job. Do you stop working? No. So then why is it when we've experienced church hurt, we're willing to drop church altogether? Guys, don't put on God what man has done to us. All men are fallible. Men are going to mess up. Men and women lead the church. But God is a good God and a faithful God. And so we want to make sure that we make church a priority and we stay plugged into church, because it's beneficial to each and every one of us. It will change our lives for the good. The Bible actually gives us a clear picture of how Christians are to live together in community, and it's found in Acts chapter 2. Let's read that. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and their possessions, shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It lays out a lot of what takes place when we come together in community, in relationship with one another. So here's four things that I wanted to point out tonight of what will happen when we come together, or what should happen when we come together. It says that they were devoted to learning through the apostles the Word of God. I love our church because we place a priority on the Word of God. Every week, Pastor Allen reminds us, reminds everyone online, that everyone in the Ark Church does what? All right, so y'all are reading. What are y'all doing? Everybody in the Ark Church does what? We're reading Bible 365. But beyond that, how many of you know it's important to be in church? You know, I was talking to my kids. You know, I'm in my 50s now, and I was telling them, because one who will remain nameless one day, let's see if I can not reveal the gender. One wanted to tell me that they were not, didn't have enough energy to go to church, and I was like, what? Because when I was growing up, church wasn't an option. Like, you didn't even consider telling someone you weren't going to church. But what I found was the fact that I have a strong faith in God today is because church was not an option back then. God did something in me all of those years, every time I came to a church service, every time I opened my Bible. And so we need to prioritize being in church and allowing the Word of God to come forth into our hearts to change us and to help us grow into his image and likeness. It goes on and it talks about how we should fellowship, meaning we should do life together. John 15:12 breaks down one of the ways that we can do life together. It says, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. When we come together, we have an opportunity to reflect Christ, to love on each other, you know, to be there for one another, to be kind to one another. You know, the church, we should look different than those who don't know God. We should walk in love at all times. You know, and I will tell you, standing in lines at Disney World, I was tested many times last week. But we're called to walk in love towards one another. Another way that we can do life together is found in Galatians 6:2. We're called to carry each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. We're supposed to be there for one another and to help lift burdens off. You know, many years ago, I've told this story in some of the classes that I've taught. Believe it or not, I was a string bean. I mean, I was very, very thin. We went to a smaller church, and our church was moving locations. And our pastor put me and another guy in charge of clearing out his office. And I'll never forget it. The other guy, his name was Joseph. Joseph was this big, gentle giant. But Joseph was 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". I just know he was big. And he was an ex-bodybuilder. He's like 300 pounds. And so I tell people every time Joseph wore a tank top, it looked like dental floss coming down the front of his chest and down his back. I mean, it was like disgustingly huge, man. It was like, I mean, I say that because I was jealous. But and I'll never forget, we cleaned out the office. And the last thing was this old wooden desk. I mean, the desk was huge. Had to be 15, 16 feet long. It was solid wood. And I'll never forget, he was like, okay, you get one side, I'll get the other side. He said, and on three, we're going to lift it together. I said, okay, cool, I got it. And he was like, one, two, and on three, all I remember was looking up, and the desk was on top of me. And Joseph kind of had a lisp, and he was like, oh, no. And he picks the desk up, and he's like, are you okay? And I remember looking up like, why did you need my help if you could lift the desk up by yourself? And he's like, I'll be right back. And he carries the desk out. And I was mad one moment, but then I realized I was glad he was there because he had the capacity to lift that thing up off of me and to carry it to another place. Guys, when we have the right people in our lives, they are to be there to help lift burdens off of us that we can't because we're not in a good place emotionally or we're not in a good place spiritually. That's the kind of people that God wants around us. That's why we're called to be in relationship, because sometimes we can't lift those things off of ourselves. What does that look like when we talk about burdens? It could be they could pray for you. It could be making a time for you to sit down and talk. It could be practical advice, practical application. It could be just providing a listening ear. Or it could be financial assistance, whatever. You know, we're called to lift burdens off of each other. The other thing when we talk about fellowship that happens is, you know, we're called to be there and encourage one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you already are doing. You know, isn't it good to be around people that build you up? You know, you don't want to be around people when you're like, man, life's just horrible. And people are like, yeah. No, you want to be around someone that says, you know what, but your best days are ahead of you. You know, every time I turn around, something goes wrong. So you want somebody to tell you, stop turning around. You know, I just can't catch a break. You want someone who's going to always speak hope, speak faith, help you to turn back and grab on to the promises of God for your life. You want people around you that will encourage you and help you never to give up. Sometimes you can't do that alone. You need others in your life to be able to do that. What we have to realize is God often speaks through the relationships in our lives. And the people around us can either help us avoid the mistakes, they can help us reveal the blind spots in our lives, and they can help us carry the burdens that sometimes are upon us. The other thing that we find from this story here is we're called to worship together, and I love our worship team. How many of you love our worship team? They're doing an awesome job. We are called to worship together, to celebrate God together, and there's something that happens. You know, the Bible says that, you know, God inhabits the praises of his people. The Spirit of God comes into the place and things take place, guys. And so never underestimate being here in the presence of all the other people and worshiping together. God can do something for you, for your family during that time. And then we're called to serve together. What we have to understand is the people closest to us will either carry us closer to Jesus or move us further from him. And so we got to make sure as we connect into relationship, we have the right people around us. So, because the person next to you is not listening to me, I need you to help me encourage them tonight. Look to the left or look to the right and let them know, hey, find your people. Now look back at them and say, no, find your people. Guys, all of us have people. We got to find our people. And I want you to know tonight, your people may look different than you. In the body of Christ, it's very diverse. That's why I love our church. I think this is a snapshot of what heaven looks like. What you have to understand is when you find your people, life change begins to happen, and we'll get into that here in just a minute. Let's look at Mark chapter 2. It's a great story that I think will help us understand the kind of people that we need in our lives. In Mark chapter 2, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, and so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus, and seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to a paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed, praising God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Now, let me just ask you, maybe you weren't paying attention. I was. That man got to Jesus how? Because of his friends. Did he go through the front door? They tore a hole through the roof, and they lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. And the first thing out of Jesus' mouth was, because of their faith. When you have the right people around you, they can help you draw closer to Jesus. They can help you tap into his healing power, his forgiving power, his redeeming power. And so having your people, the right people around you, is a benefit, church. God wants us to know that there is blessing in relationship. But we have to embrace his way and believe that. I love that because the man couldn't get to Jesus himself. His friends carried him to Jesus, and when the crowd blocked the door, they found another way. Man, I love having friends that help me find another way. I love that. And these weren't just casual acquaintances. They were committed friendships. Everyone in here needs committed, strong, Christian believers in your life. That's who your people need to be. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, it tells us, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. But when we have the right people around us, when we fall, they help us get back up. I love that. They help us to get back up. When I came here to the Ark Church, I didn't want to talk to none of y'all. Like, I'm being real. I didn't like church people. I was a Christian, but church people hurt people. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to work. My wife was like, oh, let's get involved. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't want to talk to those people. And so my wife, if you ask my wife and kids, the very first day we came, I told them, hey, nobody needs to know our name. In fact, my name is Back Row Bob, your Side Door Sally. Don't talk to nobody. Don't look at nobody. I don't want to be around anyone. Why? Because I had come from a church hurt environment or situation. But I had enough common sense to be in church. Well, I praise God for people like my wife who don't listen. Yeah. And she goes, okay. And then like 2 weeks later, she's serving in some capacity here at the church. And every week, she and the kids would come to midweek services. I would only come on Sundays, but they would come midweek services. And after a while, that started bothering me. I almost felt like I was being left out of something, but I still didn't want to, you know. So I told her, I'm going to come on Wednesday. I want to scope out. I don't know these people you're hanging out with, so I just want to see what's going on. And so I came up here, and they were serving, and they were doing their different things. The kids were in art kids. My wife was serving. And I came up, and I happened upon a classroom. And for those who are sitting in our south lobby, that used to be a classroom, classroom 101, and it was a classroom called healing class. And so I stumbled in this class, and I went and sat in the back, and the classroom was very long, and for whatever reason, I said, you know what, I don't want anybody to see me, so I bent over like this and was trying to hide, and Miss Joy Clayton was teaching the class along with Miss Janet Heselow, and I don't know why I thought I would blend in because I was the only black guy in there and the only person over 5 feet. Everyone else was blonde hair and poofy white hair, but every week I would bend over. But a strange thing happened. Because over the weeks, the people in that class became my people. I will never forget the night I walked in, the second week I walked in, and Miss Janet Heselow, she grabbed my little chubby cheeks and she says, I'm so glad you're here. And I was like, you are? And that broke something on the inside of me. Amen. And week after week, the ladies around me started talking to me. Hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. How are you? How was your week? I didn't know what was going on. But the more committed I got to that class, the more the walls that I had put up started to come down. And as the walls became to come down, the people that were around me were able to begin to influence and encourage and uplift. And the things that I had come to this church with began to be lifted off of me by one small act. You see, for some of us, the only thing that we may be able to do is to step foot in the church. Amen. Guys, that's a win. Amen. Keep doing that. But purpose in your heart that, God, I'm not going to do this alone. That I'm going to allow you, through your people, to help me walk this thing out. But I do want to encourage you here. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Real friends don't simply affirm everything. They tell you the truth. They challenge you when you're drifting. They encourage you towards Christ. And so as you get to know people, number one, no, you ain't all that. That they may lovingly tell you, hey, you need to work on that temper, or hey, you need to stop cussing like that, or hey, you need to, and you have to be open to that if it's in line with the scriptures. And what happens is you begin to grow. You begin to heal and mature in your walk with God. And you begin to realize things about yourself that you would have never known had you not opened yourself up to relationship. In Psalm 28:7, it says, it tells us to place our trust in God. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust in him with all of my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. I want to make sure that I drive this home. Never place your full trust in man. Put it in God and God alone. That's how we get church hurt. We put people on pedestals. And then you get mad when that person has an off day. You have an off day. None of us are perfect. And so place your trust in God and allow him to work through the people that he's placed in your life. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, this is a warning about having the wrong people. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. We want to make sure that we don't have the wrong people around us, and so we need to be willing to do what I call a relationship checkup. Why? Because some relationships feed bitterness, they encourage compromise, they promote negativity, and they pull us away from God, which is not healthy. What I found is unfortunately, in the time that we're living in, everybody under the sun is a Christian. But the Bible tells us that we'll know them by their fruit. And so if you see fruit that's a little smelly and doesn't look right, I would back up and go the other way. You want to find people that are walking the walk, not just talking the talk, and allow them into your lives. Now, I do want to stop and say this. I am not telling someone who's having a hard time in their marriage to go and find someone else. No, I think that needs to be said. Because sometimes I've found is when we're struggling in marriage, we're looking for a reason to get out. And I know this for a fact, okay? I know this for a fact because my first 7 years in marriage was hell on earth. But when you invite God in, when you come to the church and say, "Church, can you help our marriage?" The Lord will help you. And so if you're struggling in that area of your life, allow us to help you. We have biblical coaching. If you go online and sign up, we will help you in your relationship. But that's not a reason to get out of your marriage if things are not where you want them to be. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says this, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." We want the right people in our life because it will help us to grow and to get closer to God. So what are some ways that we can get the right people in our life here at the church? Simple, and some of you may turn and look at me crazy, but what I found in my own walk is one of the best ways to get to know people is serving, getting plugged in. When I came to the church, I was like, okay, I need to get plugged in. I need to get to know some people because this church is big. And serving is a way to make this church a little bit more manageable for some. And so my first serving opportunity, I served in Art Kids for one day. Realized that wasn't it. But I didn't throw in the towel. So then I went upstairs and I started serving and helping the guys in the booth. And you need to praise God for the people that we have now, because I was always behind on the song lyrics because I was back there worshiping, getting caught up in the songs. So then they said, okay, well, bless his heart, we're going to put him on the camera. So then I was on the camera. And I was so caught up in Pastor Allen's messages, Pastor Allen would be on the right side, and I'm my camera's on the left side. So I realized that wasn't it. But what I'm saying here is do something. Don't just not do anything. Do something. Plug in, because you know what? Some of the closest people that I know today here at the church, I met when I started serving. And so the first entry point to serving here at the Ark is something called Teams Class. We have a class coming up next Wednesday and then the following Sunday. And so sign up, get plugged in to serve. The other thing is our groups here at the church. Groups are a way we make this big church a little bit more personal. And you can go online and sign up for a group, or you can get one of the flyers that they'll be handing out on Sunday. But get involved and watch what the Lord will do in your life. And so I want to encourage you in this. Relationships are huge. We need each other. We need to make it our heart's desire to find our people. And so I want to ask you this tonight. Who's influencing your life? Who has access to your heart? Who do you allow to speak into your decisions? Are they men and women of God? Men who help carry you closer to God, or men and women who help pull you away from him? Wherever you're at, make the adjustments according to Scripture and allow God to do something through relationships in your life. You bow your heads with me tonight? You know, today if you would say, "Derek, I need God to help me build the right relationships," or, you know, "There are some influences I need to remove from my life," or maybe you're at a place where you're like, "Derek, I just need godly friends who will help me to grow." If that's where you're at, if that is where you're at tonight, then I'm going to ask you to open your heart up. I want to lead us in a prayer tonight. And I believe God will answer that prayer. And so, Lord, we thank you for never calling us to walk alone. Father, we ask you to help us to recognize the people that you've placed in our lives and give us the wisdom to choose our closest influences. Lord, we ask you to help us to remove the relationships that pull us away from you. And Father, we thank you for helping us to grow in you, closer to you, in the days ahead through our relationships. Now, with every head bow, every eye closed, we're going to do what we do every week. And you may be here tonight, and you may be in a place where you say, Derek, I've never made a decision to surrender my life to God. Or maybe you're in a place where you said, Derek, I used to walk closely with the Lord, but because of relationships, because of decisions, I've wandered away from him. Well, tonight, as we do in every service, tonight is a night where I believe the tide of the battle is going to turn in your favor, because we're going to have an opportunity to reconnect with him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's say our prayer together. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because of you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.